Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. The program you're listening to is Today's Issues on American Family Radio, AFR.net on the internet. And we're live video streaming our show. If you want to watch and or listen that way, on our Today's Issues Facebook page. And you can comment on the program there as well. If you want to send us an email, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We spent the better part of the hour talking about this developing an explosive story out of our nation's capital involving the FBI and others who apparently tried to take out President, I'm not talking about physically with a gunshot, but I'm talking about take out President Trump before he, while he was campaigning against Hillary Clinton. And then after he was elected, tried to make plans, or were making plans on how to discredit him or cut him off at the knees before he ever got started. And it's a huge, huge story. And Walker's got a link at our Facebook page for Today's Issues of a story that spells it out pretty well by Michael Goodwin, G-O-O-W-I-N, of the New York Post. Now, we did also talk to Catherine Engelbrett of the True the Vote organization, and they got a very positive ruling yesterday, finally, after 8 years with the IRS case. Remember the IRS discriminating against conservative groups by denying them nonprofit status? You remember that story? Lois Lerner, the lady who appeared before Congress and pleaded the Fifth Amendment and those things. Well, finally, United States District Judge Reggie Walton yesterday declared, in fact, quote, discrimination on the basis of political viewpoint in administering the United States tax code violates fundamental First Amendment rights, end of quote. So the IRS was found guilty. That's what it appears to me. That's what she said, right?
Yeah, the court rebuked the IRS.
Yeah.
For violating First Amendment rights.
At least some justice was brought to bear there. Steve Jordahl is in with us. It's not St. Patrick's Day, but Steve is all greened up.
No, I'm practicing for St. Patrick's Day, and it's about a month or so.
Is it about a month or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, just Saint a little Patrick's bit more Day. Than a month. Right. So I'm rehearsing.
Okay. Are you going green, which is fine, too?
Yeah. You can't pinch me today.
Yeah. I can't?
Nope.
And wake you up?
Well, he can, but yeah. Why would he want to?
You have
to
throw something at me if you want to wake me up. At least that's what the rules now say.
All right, Steve Jordahl, what's on your mind?
Hey, one breaking news story that we have never talked about this, but it's a big part of the Me Too movement. And last year sometime, a brave young gymnast named Rachel Den Hollander exposed the U.S. Gymnastics team doctor Larry Nassar as having abused her, and they are reading the sentence, in fact, right now for this, as he's been on trial, and he is accused. As more and more women came forward, it started to be revealed that he abused gymnasts in the guise of treating them as their doctor for injuries or checkups or whatever. He abused just awfully,
sexually abused
more than hundreds and hundreds of girls.
Oh my God!
I don't see how he got away with that, honestly.
For a long time, the girls didn't. They were afraid to speak. But they have been speaking now. For the last 3 days, more than 100 of these girls, now young women, spoke. And these are gymnasts that you've seen at the Olympics.
Right.
Some of them have been Olympic competitors, Olympic gold medal winners that were abused before they became big. But so one of them, the first one, this Rachel Den Hollander, all of these women have been speaking out with just bitter anger at him at this sentencing hearing. Understandable. They talk about him stealing their lives, their hatred for him, how they are scarred for life.
Well, he molested them.
He did. He molested him. He videotaped it, and he kept it. He's already been charged with 60 years in prison for child pornography. Well, I wanted to play you a little clip of what Rachel Den Hollander had to say. Out of the many, many voices, all of them legitimate, in anger, she took a little bit of a different tack.
You have become a man ruled by selfish and perverted desires. A man defined by his daily choices over and over again to feed that selfishness and perversion. You chose to pursue your wickedness no matter what it cost others. And the opposite of what you have done is for me to choose to love sacrificially, no matter what it costs me. In our early hearings, you brought your Bible into the courtroom, and you have spoken of praying for forgiveness, and so it is on that basis that I appeal to you. If you have read the Bible you carry, you know that the definition of sacrificial love portrayed is of God himself loving so sacrificially that he gave up everything to pay a penalty for the sin he did not commit. By his grace, I too choose to love this way. You spoke of praying for forgiveness, but Larry, if you have read the Bible you carry, you know forgiveness does not come from doing good things, as if good deeds can erase what you have done. It comes from repentance, which requires facing and acknowledging the truth about what you have done in all of its utter depravity and horror, without mitigation, without excuse, without acting as if good deeds can erase what you have seen in this courtroom today.
And she went on to say she doesn't feel hate. She feels pity for the man. Obviously, someone who has taken her Christian faith into the courtroom with her and expressed, I thought, admirably. But I have to stress again, I don't blame any of other young women for feeling rage at this man for ruining their lives.
Did he ever admit to doing what he did wrong?
He has pleaded guilty to several charges, related to this, but not yet this. He will be given, or he was given, I don't know if he didn't take it, the opportunity to speak there.
Well, the reason I mentioned that is because, what was this lady, this young woman?
Her name is Rachel Denhollander.
She says the right thing. She says, you're saying you want forgiveness means you've got to own what you've done.
Right.
Without making excuses, without any mitigating circumstances, you've got to admit what you've done. And so that is an excellent and theologically sound point.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the man's really converted.
We should know in a matter of minutes, and if you see it, Tim, just go ahead and you can tell us. But I don't have my glass. Yeah, there they are. So they're deciding right now. The judge is in the middle of announcing what his sentence will be on these charges. It has at minimum 25 to 40 years. I have a feeling he will.
How's it not life?
Well,
I mean, if it's hundreds of people.
Yeah, it might be on every count. He could be, it could be one of these multiple life
in
a row.
Good. He doesn't need to ever get out.
This is the minimum that he faces, at least
25 to 40. Yeah, but it says, I'm looking at the Fox News story, it says faces a minimum of 25 to 40 years for multiple sexual assaults. I'm just saying, I don't know if that's 25 and 40 years minimum for all of them or per assault.
We'll find out, but if it was for all of them, and that's the minimum. If she sentences him to, if she sentences him to the minimum, which is 20, which she won't because of the testimonies that they've been hearing, this would be on top of the other 60-year sentence that he received, the 80 years. In other words, she has said he is never going to see the light of day again.
Good.
All right, and I'm sorry to have to broach that difficult subject, but I just wanted to bring up a good example. We've been talking about the immigration issue, Tim, on this show and on others. We've been writing about it at One News Now. We just came across, we just finished this government shutdown, and they're going to be heading into another round of debates on all the issues, including immigration and DACA. I had an interest. There was a meeting on the day of the Women's March, on the weekend of the Women's March.
So it'd be Saturday.
It was on
the liberal
January 19th. I think that was the Friday. I think that might have been the Friday.
Let me just say that's the March, the Liberal Women's March.
No, it was timed. This is they happened the same weekend. This was a meeting of Evangelicals for Life 2018.
Okay, pardon me. I'm sorry. I was what I was noting was the, you know, the one where the left wing actresses get mm-hmm. up and scream.
Right.
That's the and they did that last year, the day after the inauguration.
Right.
And they wanted to do it again this year. That's the event I'm talking about. I misunderstood you. You're talking about something altogether.
Well, there were two marches over the last weekend. On Friday, they had the March for Life, which was the 40-something year since Roe v. Wade. They've been doing this. They had hundreds of thousands of women out to express their pro-life sentiments, and it was basically a positive gathering. The next day, they had the second annual Women's March, what they called, and this is the one where they wear the hats, the cat hats,
and they
it's an anti-Trump, basically, extravaganza.
Fortunately, the news media covered both of rallies equally.
We talked yesterday about the 3-to-1 margin, but the Evangelicals for Life had a conference in association with both the march, the pro-life march, and the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. One of the people that spoke at this convention was Richard Stearns. He's the president of World Vision. And he was scolding some of the pro-lifers, and this is what he had to say. Quote, some of the same people that value the unborn as precious lives don't want refugees to seek asylum in our country or may want to build a wall to keep immigrants that might come across illegally
out. Who said this?
Richard Stearns, who is the president of World Vision.
Talking about the World Vision?
World Vision, the one where you can sponsor childs. Not Compassion International, which is a similar organization, but this is World Vision, which they're the ones, World Vision is the ones that have those books where you can buy a goat for somebody.
So if you're for a security border wall.
You're not pro-life.
You're not pro-life?
No.
That's whacked.
Well, and what they're doing is they're co-opting the pro-life label, just like the homosexual movement co-opted the civil rights movement.
Right.
Well, the more liberal side of evangelicals here is co-opting immigration and the pro-life movement to infiltrate immigration into it.
Like the Russell Moore wing of the evangelical community.
I spoke with Robert Jeffress, who has been a more conservative voice in this, to ask him what he thought of that. And so I asked him, just what do you think about evangelical leaders who compare immigration to abortion? And this is what he had to say.
That is just absolutely ludicrous. Listen, the right to life is a God-given absolute right. There is no God-given absolute right to immigrate to the United States of America. Those are completely different issues. Everybody wants a compassionate solution. There are some of us who believe that that should be coupled with making sure that our borders are secure, that both are important things to take care of, and I think both things can be accomplished. Nobody wants to see families split up. I mean, I think there has to be some solution that allows them to stay with certain caveats that the government decides to impose.
Well, that was Robert Jeffress' way of my way of saying it was whacked.
Yeah.
But he used
it's absolutely ludicrous.
He took more time than you did.
Yeah, he did a sermon on it. I just gave you cliff notes to describe this.
You did the graffiti version.
These evangelical Christian brothers. I'm rolling my eyes. Who are left wingers on social issues, the social justice warriors, who say to us, either you've got to be for social justice solutions as defined by the political left in this country, or you're not compassionate, i.e., you're not a real Christian,
and you're not pro-life.
You're not pro-life. They're throwing this stuff at us. Well, Russell Moore from the Southern Baptist group in Nashville. He's been in this camp, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm convinced that Russell Moore is a left-leaning, almost a socialist when it comes to economic policies. And listen, just for those who now he heads up the
Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission.
Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. He's a director or whatever, president.
Yeah, right. President.
And
now we
president.
Have, just so people don't criticize us for criticizing him, we have reached out to him on numerous occasions. We offered to drive up there and meet with him when he criticized Christian talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
And we have made overtures to talk to him about these issues. He ignores us.
Well, won't Russell even Moore, answer. You're talking about.
Russell Moore. So I want people to understand that we're not just throwing, you know, rocks from a distance. We wanted to talk to him about this stuff, but there is a left-wing component in the evangelical community.
Even in the Southern Baptist.
Even in the Southern Baptist. I don't know why the Southern Baptists have Russell Moore continuing
them.
To represent them.
Unless he does represent half the... Unless
it started back in the day with a man named Richard Cizik.
National Association of Evangelicals.
Right. Well, he worked with Russell Moore, I think, at ERLC. I like what Robert Jeffress has to say, because what he does, what liberals like Richard Stern and Russell Moore do, is they throw the verse at you that says, God tells us to care for the widow and the orphan. And you know what? They're right. But what Jeffress says is, that's what God tells to believers, to the mm-hmm. individual Christian.
Right.
Ed, you should be. Tim, you should be. Steve, I should be.
Yeah.
Caring for widows and orphans and the poor and immigrants as they're found among us. The government has a different God-ordained role, which is to protect its citizens.
Right. You can't apply the Sermon on the Mount to the United States government. That's insane. Now, you can adopt some principles from the Bible that you want your government to promote. We don't turn our cheek on ISIS.
Right.
We don't forgive Al-Qaeda 70 times 7.
This pervert right here that we just talked about.
Oh, the guy who abused the gymnast?
Yeah. What is he, does Russell Moore and Richard Stearns want the government to forgive its enemies and let this guy go?
I know that they use the same argument to say that pro-lifers should be against the death penalty. Because how can you...
It's not
be
the same thing.
No.
Absolutely not the same thing.
And there's two things here. There's two things. Number one, I don't know any Christian, any evangelical who has said we want zero refugees in the U.S.
Right.
We have said we do not temporarily want refugees from terrorist-prone countries with no background checks.
Right, right.
Because we see what's happening all over the world.
Yes, if refugees want to come from countries that have a system where we can see their criminal backgrounds or the lack thereof of immigrants, that's fine. And I'm for legal immigration. But what I'm not for is bringing in people who are probably terrorists and bringing in hundreds of thousands of refugees when people in our own country who are American citizens can't find a job and they're on the streets homeless. And our Chicago teens are being shot up every day and killed.
Yeah.
Right.
But we're supposed to neglect our American citizens who are impoverished and who are in need of help by the church and go over to the Middle East and pick random people who may be ISIS fighters and bring them here and pay for all their stuff.
Yeah, where's the compassion for the American citizens?
Right.
Where's the compassion for those folks?
Yeah, right. our American citizens in some of these cities are getting the shaft, if you will, and it's not good, and they want us to prioritize foreigners.
Yeah, and what bothers me the most about this, what's the fellow's name again at World Vision?
Richard Stearns.
When he says, let me just read his quote again, because I had to get my heart rate up again here. okay, he's the leader, president of World Vision. Yes, that World Vision that probably some of you listening have children you've supported through World Vision. He said at this meeting, when was this meeting, Steve? January 19th of this year at the JW Marriott, and it was at a conference called Evangelicals for Life 2018.
It was in Washington, D.C.
Okay, and this fella, Mr. Stern, says this: some of the same people that value the unborn as precious lives don't want refugees to seek asylum in our country. Barker just addressed that as impassionately as he could.
dispassionately
as he could, I guess. This guy says, seek asylum in our country or may want to build a wall to keep out immigrants that might come across here illegally. So you see what he's done here. I don't know who all was in. Were any other names of... people that we recognize involved in this meeting. Anyway, so they're equating. You see, these are people who claim, you know, I'm not going to judge their Christianity. They may be brothers in the Lord. They subscribe to the basic tenets of Christianity. So I'm not going to judge their souls. here, although I probably could, but I'm not gonna do that. But I will say this: for a man of his stature to equate being pro-life and wanting to protect unborn babies if you're for life, he says you get and you're you don't want to build a wall, and you certainly don't want to keep immigrants from coming here illegally. So if you're for control of illegal immigration, you're not a real Christian, Ed.
And you're not pro-life. Sounds like he's judging my Christianity.
Well, he is. Yeah. He's saying if you're for a wall or if you're for controlling illegal immigrants, he's an open borders guy. Mm-hmm. I would ask Mr. Stearns, Richard Stearns. I would just ask him, listen, where does your support of illegal lawless behavior stop? I mean, if people want to break into your house to get food out of your fridge and, you know, crash on your couch and you turn them away.
And bring their drugs into your house.
And you call yourself a Christian.
Right.
You should have more compassion. What's the difference between what I've just described? Somebody say, well, that's crazy. What I've just described and people breaking into a nation.
There's no difference.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure Richard Stearns, however much his house is worth, has walls. I bet he's got walls around his house.
You think he calls the police?
I bet it's not an open pavilion.
You think he calls the cops if a couple people want to put a tent in his backyard?
Yeah.
Huh? You think so?
I'm pretty sure.
And threaten his daughter?
Right.
Think he? Well, that's not very Christian.
Yeah.
Ed, does he not have compassion? The same people who say they're pro-life or against abortion want to keep people from camping in my yard.
Yeah. It's clear that these guys, and I'm with you. I'm sure Russell Moore is a Christian. Richard Stearns is a Christian. I'm not doubting that, but they're wrong on this. And what they're doing is they're slandering us.
Yes.
That's slander.
Yeah, us by meaning the conservative Christian movement.
Yes, because we want a wall on our southern border.
Right. Right, and they're
That's against the Bible too, Mr. Stearns.
Mm-hmm.
Slandering your brothers and sisters.
Yeah, you know what? There's many cases where we built walls in the Bible, right?
Nehemiah was the wall builder.
Yeah,
he wasn't a real religious man, was he?
Yeah, I guess he didn't.
Huh? He didn't care about others.
Old Testament verses.
Open your borders. Tear down your walls, people. Let everybody in.
Nehemiah, really tear down this wall.
All right, we got 1 minute, Steve.
All right, this is a new file I'm opening up. This is from the fast food files.
I'm at the Pizza Hut.
What?
I'm at the Taco Bell.
What?
I'm at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
I like it.
Yeah, this is, I want to tell you about residents from Montgomery, Alabama that had a candlelight vigil the other day for a Taco Bell that burned down in their neighborhood. No one hurt. It just burned down, and so they had about 100 people show up for a candlelight vigil for a Taco Bell.
And I'm assuming the Taco Bell burned down that it was probably a grease fire.
Yes, it wasn't arson or any political things. Yes.
Grease fire, get it?
Yes.
Yeah. So they had a candlelight vigil for the Taco Bell?
That's good right there. That's hilarious.
You know, is this a small town?
It's Montgomery. Montgomery. It's not a
small town. All right. I thought it might be a small town, the only joint in town
right.
burned down.
Right. No.
Wow. Man, I'd like me some Taco Bell, but
I would just say to everybody, may your Taco Bells thrive and survive in your life. The Taco Bells of your life, I hope they flourish. Okay. Thank you, Ed, Walker, and Steve.
You're welcome, sir.
Appreciate you listening to today's issues here on American Family Radio, everybody. Take care, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.